What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, how about a hug?
Oh, I hate goodbyes.
Lloyd.
Shh. Just go ahead.
Be strong.
Goodbye, my love.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. 106.7 all over D.C., 910 a.m., 105.1 FM in Richmond. And right now on the BetQL guest hotline, bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today at BetQL.com. We're joined by the all-time leading sack artist in Washington football team history, Ryan Kerrigan. 95.5 sacks and probably about that many great appearances on this show over the years, joins us now, a member of the Philadelphia Eagles.
God!
Ryan, what's up? How are you, man?
You know, I'm doing a lot better after that intro. I mean, that's one of my all-time favorite movie scenes. Just a very, well done, guys. Well done.
Thank you. I wanted to set a tone. I wanted to make sure that we're all able to have a little fun here.
A little bit. I mean, this sucks. Like, this stings, and I'm hurt. And it feels like you did this to me, kind of, a little bit.
Is there any truth that when you agreed to terms with the Eagles, you said, what will make Danny the most mad?
And it was that, right?
Yeah, 100%. That was my lone thought process. I told my agent, I said, how can I make Danny Ruye upset? And he said, this is the way. And so that's what I did.
This is the way.
Kidding aside, I'm sure you've seen some of the response on social media. There's two ways to go about this for Washington football team fans. There are like the people that are going, hey, man, you were a legend. Best of luck. And then there are just scorned lovers who just can't get over the news and who are very, very upset and saying very angry things. What has the reaction been like for you?
You know what? I think either way, it's, in my opinion, it's good because it means, you know, people care. I mean, if no one cared, I think that would be a little more hurtful. So even if someone's like, you know, upset that I'm going to Philadelphia and all that, like, it's, I mean, that's all right, because that means that they care and they liked watching me play for their football team for so many years. So it's ultimately kind of a compliment to me, and at least that's how I'm gonna look at it. Because I mean, like I said, if no one cared and was just like, oh, ho-hum, whatever, like, that would be I guess more cause for concern in my mind.
It's time to make the big announcement that this was all a big ruse. He did this for just our show to get some credit. You're not actually signing with the Eagles.
Future Bengal!
Cincinnati Bengals! Yay! Defensive end, Ryan Kerrigan. We can't thank you enough. Those Eagles fans that are so sad now, it was all based on our show getting some headlines, so we appreciate it. So if you're willing, if you'd like to, you can announce right now. We know that there's a big reveal coming any moment now.
Jump out of a cake.
You're not actually an Eagle, right? That you came on the show to say that. Is that what this is about?
Guys, the ink's dry. I'm heading up 95.
Oh, man.
But why did you do that?
I mean, just going through the free agent process, which is a weird, I mean, having this my first time doing it as a professional athlete, it's a strange process. And I mean, at the end of the day, this was the best fit for me, you know, as a football player. And so when you look at it that way, it becomes a much easier decision that it was, you know, the best for me as a football player.
What was on the table in terms of fits, right? With some of the reports of other teams interested in you, and anybody would be smart to employ you. But what was kind of the schematic fit, sort of the playing time type stuff, the design, how they're going to deploy you?
I think it's going to be a little combination of things I've done over the years. I mean, like, I played a lot of 3-4 outside linebacker over the years, played a little bit of defensive end last year. So I think it's going to be, you know, probably a little mixture of both of that. So glad I got, you know, some experience of both of those things to, you know, be able to take that into this year.
Ryan Kerrigan on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. When did it become official that, and I know your statement made it official publicly, and I know when that came out a few days ago, but when did you know you definitely weren't coming back? Because we had you on right after the season. It did absolutely sound like you wanted to start, you wanted to play, you probably weren't going to be here. But was there still an open lines of communication until recently? How did the offseason actually go between you and Washington? Like, have you talked to them since the end of the offseason?
Yeah, so Coach Rivera and Mr. Snyder called me right at the start of free agency and just kind of let me know that, you know, that they weren't going to be, you know, trying to re-sign me and that they were, you know, going to try to go in a different direction. So I know some of the headlines out there were, you know, throughout free agency were, you know, the, you know, that, you know, there still could be a return or whatnot, but I know that, you know, I knew that, you know, they had called me at the start of free agency and kind of let me know that that wasn't going to be an option. So, I'd said with you guys, you know, back in, I guess, January now, I said I had to give each team a fair shake. And that was what I did.
Who are you going to miss the most? And you don't have to just say us because you're on with us.
What do you mean? Who are you going to miss the most?
Like in D.C.? Like, he was here for a decade, man.
Are you just trying to get him to say he's going to miss the show?
No, I don't want him to say he's going to miss the show. He's not going to miss the show. He could still take us with him wherever he goes with the Odyssey app. I'm saying here in D.C., guys that you played with, wherever, who are you going to miss the most?
I mean, dude, it's tough to say. I mean, you think about it, 10 years. I mean, I pretty much grew up here. I was, yeah, you know, 22 when I got here, and now I'm, you know, 32 and married, father of two. So it's like, you know, a lot's changed in those 10 years. So, I mean, there's a ton of people. I mean, people around the building, you know, equipment guys, you know, athletic trainers, my teammates, obviously. I mean, and some of the people you hear from, you know, I've heard from this week, you know, you realize, man, I'm going to miss him a whole hell of a lot too. And it's just, and so it's, I mean, there's a ton of people and it's just, it's been a hell of a ride. So it's, and that's a good thing that I'm going to have people to miss. That's the main thing. I made some good relationships.
You absolutely did. You did so much good while you were here on and off the field. Ryan Kerrigan on Grant and Danny. When you made the announcement a couple of days ago and you posted the picture of you in that Eagles jersey and helmet, like when you, I don't know how that happened. Like, do you send that to someone or somebody with your marketing firm or whatever? Like, when you got that picture back and they're like, here you go for your Instagram post. When you looked at it, were you like, this is really weird? What did you think at first? Be honest with us.
I'm not trying to hurt you guys' feelings, but I thought it, you know, I thought the green looked kind of cool.
Oh, come on!
I don't think you thought that. You would have looked so cute in a Bengals uniform. Your muscles would have looked
the stripes.
You know how good your muscles would have looked in a Steelers uniform?
Slimming.
Do you have any
black
idea how good you would have looked in black and gold?
Well, I mean, you know, Philadelphia, we're black there too. So, I mean, it's, you know, going to be, I could get that slimming there too, so.
Are you about to do a Bryce Harper bit where you act like you Fresh Prince is your
favorite?
You love
the Liberty
show?
Bell.
Liberty Bell's your favorite, you know, national historic landmark. Are you going to pretend like you've eaten cheesesteaks the last month when I know you haven't eaten a cheesesteak since you came out the womb? Is that your new bit?
Oh, I mean, I've always been just a big fan of the Liberty Bell. It's you know, when it comes to historical monuments, I just think it's as good as it gets. So
I'm no, sure.
No,
Ryan,
but I mean,
Ryan Harper over here.
I just can't stay mad at him. He's too funny. I just love him so much.
Rocky was your favorite movie, right? Because you were saying like 5 years ago, you're like, you know what movie doesn't get enough run? I remember you always like to run those steps. Those are some of your favorite things to do.
Absolutely. That's my Tuesday afternoon.
I love the M. Night Shyamalan movies because they all take place in and around Philadelphia. Ryan Kerrigan's with us. Current Philadelphia Eagle. Just hashtag and Fly Eagles Fly all
just
over the place.
That. Well, let me ask one more question about the Instagram post. Did you think about not putting Fly Eagles Fly on there? You didn't have to do that. You could have just said, I'm an eagle and ended it there, but you put Fly Eagles Fly. Did you think about not putting that?
Well, I didn't think about putting just I am an Eagle. I mean, that actually probably would have been a really funny bit. Just so, like, very matter of fact, like, I am an Eagle,
yeah.
Period.
Currently an Eagle.
Or just, you could have even shortened it to I an Eagle, who calls games on CBS. It could have just said, yeah. I an Eagle with a picture of you as an Eagle. But you put Fly Eagles Fly.
Well, you know, opportunity missed. I had a chance to just be really, really short with it and, you know, squandered opportunity, I guess.
What I said to Danny, because, you know, it hurt. It hurt,
man.
But I told him, I said, you're trying to now, like, you are, it's not like you're turning heel and coming out like, by God, that's Kerrigan's music. And, like, me and Danny are waiting for a tag, and you come out, and we've been this faction for years, and it's the three of us. And, like, Danny's like, oh, thank God, it's Kerrigan. He's here. He's going to help me. And then you take a chair right to his head, and then you grab the kendo stick, and you take it to my back over and over again on Monday Night Raw, and now you went, you know, corporate. You're with McMahon. It's not like that. You're more just trying to win over the new base. So you got to say, it's like when someone signs here and they put HTTR and they go like, I can't wait to eat it. Joe's Stone Crab.
Yeah, like, I love mumbo sauce.
Right? You got people to appeal to now that are no longer DC. That was kind of what you were doing there.
No, I mean, I'm not trying to appeal to anybody. My gosh, you guys, the kendo stick and the steel chair. I mean, man, you guys are getting me good today, but. I'm excited for a new opportunity. It's pretty, I mean, look, who would have ever thought, but I'm excited to, you know, get up there and get going.
In terms of what you have, so look back at 2019, you know, kind of banged up a little bit, not the year that you wanted. And then last year in a short amount of time, you were hyper productive. I think people are getting a bargain. I've been beating this drum that you can still play. There's a lot left in the tank, especially if you're deployed in a way that makes a lot of sense. I'm sure you feel that exact same thing, kind of that led to this entire process sort of playing out this way. I'd love for you to speak to that, man. I think people have the wrong impression about what you have left.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, 2019 was a rough season on many fronts. Obviously, we were 3-13 and, you know, bad and not good from a team standpoint. You know, I got off to a super slow start that year, and when I was finally getting in my groove, I get hurt and have to miss a game for the first time in my career. And so that was frustrating, because, like I said, right when I was getting into my groove and starting to, you know, make more plays, I get hurt, and then I strain my calf, you know, and when I come back from the concussion, and it's just like, damn, like, it was 2019 was a rough one. And then last year, I mean, yep, I felt, you know, I felt like I performed well. It was obviously a different kind of role for me than I was used to with, you know, the snap percentage and whatnot, but just tried to make the most of the opportunities out there. And I definitely feel like I still got a lot to give, and I hope to prove that this fall.
Ryan Kerrigan on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. You'll be happy to know you made it through the ball busting portion of the interview. So we're through that now. We could do some of the more looking back fun things in DC. I'm curious. I mean, you're the all time leader in sacks in this organization. And that could hang for a long, long time, Ryan. I mean, at almost 100 sacks. When you look back at your time here, and as you said, you start as a kid, draft night, now you're a man with a family, you're a D.C. guy through and through, liked all of our teams for years. What will you remember most about your time here and about being able to accomplish that record of nearly 100 sacks?
I mean, that's pretty – I mean, that's – since I was even, you know, started getting close, it almost seemed, you know, surreal and crazy to me, because when I got drafted, I didn't really know what to expect, like, because I was, you know, transitioning from a defensive end, not only from, you know, being in college to the pros, but from a defensive end to a stand-up outside backer. So I really didn't know kind of what to expect from myself, you know, personally going into the NFL. And so for things to, you know, work out the way they have is unbelievable. I mean, I just feel so incredibly lucky to have had the productivity there, but not only that, but to get drafted to a place that I really loved living in. Like, that's the best part. Like, you know, some guys get drafted to a place and they're there for, you know, the 5 or 6 months of the season, and then they're, you know, they're bolting out the first Monday out of the off season. But now I genuinely loved living in the DMV, and I think that's what made it so special for me being drafted there and having, you know, success on the football field, was that, you know, I felt a genuine connection to the place, because I loved living there. So that's what made it so special for me.
Number one moment, memory, favorite play, any of those things, pick one.
I can't. I gotta give you a couple. So I think my pick six in my first game was, I mean, that was just nuts because I never even scored in college. So
that was Eli, right? Pick six to the house?
Yes. So that was, I mean, that was nuts just because I never scored in college. I do it my first pro game. That was, I mean, what a blessing that was.
Touchdown a game, right? That's, you keep averaging right. That, you're going to go places.
It was easy. But then, you know, I think, too, the sack fumble against the Cowboys in 2018 at home when Preston scored the touchdown, picked it up and scored the touchdown, that was, I hadn't heard FedEx like that in forever. And so, you know, that was a pretty cool moment, too. And then just some of the teams, man. I mean, that's what I mean, I know it's cliche to say is the guys you're going to miss, but that's what I'm going to miss. I mean, I think about like the 2015 team, that the playoff run that we went on, like, that was an unbelievable group of dudes, like Jason Hatcher, Kedrick Golston, you know, Corey, Logan, Paulson, Will Compton, Trent Murphy, all those dudes, like those were some of the, you know, funnest and best memories I have. I mean, it was a hell of a time.
I want to bring up, if I can, while we got you, not knowing when we'll chat with you again, all the work you did in the community. And some of it goes, you know, without being talked about. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is publicized, but whether it was the golf tournament that you did or Kerrigan's Corner or the countless hours you spent at children's hospitals and things like that, when did you start really getting heavy into the community involvement? Was that right away, or did you kind of get your bearings first and then maybe speak to the legacy you'll leave there and what maybe your plans are moving forward with some of those things?
I got my bearings first, and like you know, the team had a good, you know, community, you know, involvement program that I spent a lot of my time in the first couple of years. And then, you know, my third year, you know, then I you know, did my own foundation, which, you know, was a lot of fun and really rewarding. And then in 2014, that's when I got involved with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society in DC. And it's been an unbelievable experience to get involved with organizations like that and see the difference they're making in the community and the relationships that you build with not only the patients, but everyone involved. Those are the things that, you know, I'm really kind of taking with me right now are those relationships. And I think of like our patient heroes we had with LLS, like Mason Mazuka. I still wear his, you know, his little rubber band on my wrist every day. And so I'm, you know, it's little relationships like that. Like those are what are so meaningful and what have made these 10 years just even more meaningful.
Most influential person for you in DC, player, coach, otherwise, and no saying Nick Sirianni or like a guy that you barely know.
You mean outside of you two guys?
Yeah, that's what
obviously
I wanted.
Outside of us.
Yeah, I mean, besides
you've
us.
Been fishing for that.
I just want him to like me.
You've been fishing for a while, Danny.
You're right. You're right.
I mean, it's tough to pin one. I mean, there've been so many like coaches, trainers, everybody. So many people in the building that have really just made the time and my time in Washington so great. I mean, you know, Brian Baker, Jim Haslett, Chad Grimm, Greg Minuski, Jim Tomsula, guys like that. Like they're like, those are just amazing people. And I just, I mean, I'm, they really not only were influential on, you know, on my football career, but, you know, just personally too, because they're, you know, they're guys that I really keep in touch with and have good relationships with now.
Well, Ryan, I got to tell you, I'm hoping for a 12-sack season, all in losses, and that there's only two games this season where you don't get any sacks in this new 17-game season. But we are rooting for you as a dude. Whether Danny will admit it or not, we're rooting for you as a player. And don't take crazy things that angry people say on Twitter personally. We get it, man. There's only 32 teams, and this thing's a business, and you're one of the good guys. You've done so much for this community. You're such an awesome guy to interact with for fans, for the media. I just wish there were more players like you on this team, because for years and years, they would have won a lot more football games. And thank you for reading Valentine's on this show. That's still my favorite thing we've ever done, was when you read poems to your female fans who like your physique on this show.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day, man. That was, like, that's another thing. So many, you know, funny times to think about, but, you know, you guys have always been great to me, and I always appreciate coming on the show. And, you know, I really appreciate you guys.
Nah, man, we appreciate
you. No, we appreciate you more. This really hurts. It just does. It hurts.
Give me some Sarah McLachlan.
Turn
on
up.
The way out.
Here we go.
I want you to picture, as we listen to this, the first time you see Ryan Kerrigan holding up that burgundy and gold jersey walking across the stage. You're like looking him up. You're like, wait, this guy led the
Purdue?
Nation. Forced fumbles at Purdue. I want you to picture the first time a young, intrepid reporter, Grant Paulson, walked up to this guy in Ashburn. Said, hey, my name's Grant. He said, my name's Ryan. I said, my brother's name's Ryan. They shake hands. I want you to think about that. Now I want you to think about that interception return for a touchdown against Eli Manning in game one. It was on like Donkey Kong. And now I want you to think about Fly Eagles Fly.
How about there's an Eagles left tackle that looks like dinner?
Onomatopoeia. What was that guy's name?
I don't know. I don't know. Horatio Zabarzabez.
What was that guy's name, Kerrigan?
And here comes 91 around the edge. Give him a little stiff arm to his throat.
No, his name was like Olivalapia.
They just go Big V. They just say that.
What was that guy's name you had 14 sacks against in one game?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, but you're too nice.
You know.
That's fine.
You had 40 NFC sacks,
He's
bro.
He's probably his locker mate now. He's like, I can't out that guy right now.
No eye contact.
His name was like Onomatopoeia.
Yeah. Here comes 91 around the edge.
Like a drum.
Nails whoever they got back there.
I'm just enjoying the smooth sounds of Sarah McLachlan, you know? I mean, just,
understood.
Just really letting that course through my veins.
As Sarah goes, think about that HBK towards the end zone. Adoring
fans.
Oh, that's
one thing. Kill this real quick. I do have to say this really quick before we let you go. I was asked by a few fans to just ask you this. And you can just say no if you don't want to. They have asked that you retire. you retire the HBK celebration. You don't take it with you to Philly.
I mean, I that's something I'll have to talk about with the wife because, I mean, we'll have to see what we come up with, you know.
Okay.
If I can come up with something cooler than I mean, well, I don't know if it'd be cooler, but something else that's cool, I'd
maybe we'll, do like we'll Rocky punches, something like that, you know, like boxing or something.
Or maybe like eating a cheesesteak or like I'm ringing the Liberty Bell, right?
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe that's just humbly jog off the field. Do you know what I mean?
Now you want to humbly jog off the
field. Just nicely shake hands with a couple of your mates. And don't HBK when you sack Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No, but more than like several people tweeted me were like, can you ask him, please, if he won't do that anymore?
When he does that, oh, it's going to hurt.
Seriously, man.
I'll just humbly go back to the secondary and say thank you for covering so well.
Would appreciate you, fellas. Thanks.
All right, dude. Well, we will miss you. And
miss
congratulations. Stick aside. We're pumped for you to have a new home. And for you and the fam, have a great season ahead.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
All right, you will. You well? That doesn't make sense.
You as well,
you
maybe?
As well.
Also?
I'm all flustered.
I know. I'm flummoxed, man.
Do you have Sarah McLachlan again?
Turn her
up. Do you have that? Give me some of Sarah McLachlan on the way out. I'm all flummoxed now thinking about him with the Fly Eagles Fly thing.
Dude, when he does that move where he extends that right arm coming off the left edge right into the throat of the offensive tackle.
Into the larynx.
And he works his way around. You could see it coming, slowly developing. The quarterback can't see it, but you can. And he hits the...
He didn't like the kendo stick thing.
No.
He's like, you guys are really getting
it to me.
You guys
are really a little dramatic with that.
My God! He's got a family, damn it!
He's the third man!
You didn't have to kill Rouye, Kerrigan!
Apes.
You know how good your muscles would have looked in a Steelers uniform?
Slimming.
Do you have any black. Idea how good you would have looked in black and gold?
Well, I mean, you know, Philadelphia, we're black there too. So, I mean, it's going to be, I could get that slimming there too. So,
Ryan Kerrigan was up to the challenge today.
Yeah.
He brought his A game. I'll give him that. Grant and Danny on the fan. A lot of good feedback on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson. At Funny Danny from our interview with Ryan. We have had so many fun segments with him over the years. We've had him read Valentine's love poems and lyrics to NSYNC songs to girls. We have had him... we played What's in Ryan Kerrigan's Hands.
That he was an all-timer at What's in Ryan Kerrigan's Hands.
Very
he was
good.
Great
we
at
would
that.
Just call him during the off-season. People would have to ask yes or no questions to figure out what was in Ryan Kerrigan's hands. That was always fun. We've done all kinds of things like that with him. That interview, final time we'll probably talk to him on the air for a while. Maybe the week they play the Eagles, we can get him on. But they don't play Philly until December.
Yeah, I was going to say, they play him like two of the last 3 weeks or something weird. We'll talk to him in January. I don't know.
It's very strange.
It is weird. He did make one really good point. Well, he made several good points. He's an awesome dude. Here's the best point he made, I think. The anger that I certainly feel, I'm not mad at him per se, like, I'm not there, but like I don't want him to play for Philadelphia. I don't. We could dress it up and call it something else, but But that's what it is. I don't want him to play for Philly, Dallas, or the Giants. I hate those teams. I want them to fail always. If I could snap my fingers Thanos style and they would all go 0-17 for time immemorial, I would just do that. It's not possible because they play each other, but you know what I'm trying to say. I don't want him to play for them. He's right in that all the lashing out is because of that. All the support is because of what he did. And the lashing out is because of what he did too. All he was everything it's supposed to be. Please just be like Ryan Kerrigan. Just show up all the time, play really well, be great in the community, and be a nice dude.
He was the anti. We were talking earlier about Cousy.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing that sometimes players don't care. And I said, not everyone lives it. He is the opposite of that. I referenced this on the show the other day. I don't remember if we were talking about Kerrigan or somebody else. But what I have grown to appreciate and to admire, people always say, are you a fan still? You know, you cover these teams, you're mm-hmm. in the locker room, are you rooting? What happens is, as you cover teams and as you're around in the media, reporting or just covering clubs that you grew up as a fan of, you meet people, you learn about people, and naturally, you want good things for the people that do it the right way. What I have come to admire and appreciate most, this is in all facets of life, by the way. This mm-hmm. is not just sports. Are the folks who do it correctly, who care, who are invested. I don't like people who are famous for being famous or act like idiots or who slap a cop on the butt, you know, and everyone laughs at them like Odell Beckham Jr. did that time, or who are posting videos for attention saying awful things. I like people who show up before everyone else. I like people who spend $1 million a year to keep their body in shape. I like people who lose sleep at night trying to figure out how they're going to live up to their contract, how they're going to be the best role model possible. I like guys that don't get in trouble off the field. I like players who care. He cared so much.
Mm-hmm.
I always joke that he counts every calorie. Like, he says, there's 42 pieces of rice on this plate. I only budgeted for 40 today. If I have those two pieces, I might be a little bit less energetic come game time tomorrow. That's that dude. I want those guys. I just do. I can't be that upset. By the way, you heard my wife in the break.
Yeah.
She's just so heartbroken.
Yeah, I get it.
She's so sad.
I get it.
She's like, why did you say that? Why did you say?
Why'd you wish him luck?
He
doesn't deserve good luck.
Sure he does.
My two favorite athletes growing up were Cal Ripken Jr. and Art Monk. You'll probably spot some similarities there.
Yeah.
There's a word that comes to mind with those two guys. Dependability.
I was going
to
say accountable. Same word.
Same thing. Yeah. It was 3rd and 5. We threw it to Art Monk. What happened? Bet you it was a 1st down. It's a game day. Is Cal Ripken playing?
Yep.
What's he going to do? Everything he can. Those were the guys, the ones you can count on. You tune in every, you know, once a week on Sunday to see Art. You tune in every night on home team sports to see Cal. That's what I love and respect. That's what drives me as a sports fan, is being able to count on somebody. Anybody that does stuff consciously, where they make a decision that might lead to them not being there, when I tune in, you're not going to be in my good column. You decide it's more important to party, more important to commit a crime, more important to do something stupid that jeopardizes your eligibility. I'm not going to be the same kind of fan as other guys. I like people that you can count on. I like being able to count on my athletes. It's game day. What will Ryan Kerrigan be doing? Coming off the edge, trying to hit the quarterback. And he did it at a pretty damn good clip, please and thank you.
The news that came out of that interview, by the way, and what, if you're a columnist, you should be writing about, if you're someone who's looking for the news angle, your takeaway was that Ron Rivera and Dan Snyder called Ryan Kerrigan at the start of free agency. We didn't double down to see if it was one at a time or if they were on a phone call on a group chat. But Rivera and Snyder called me, Kerrigan said, at the start of free agency and let me know that they weren't going to be trying to re-sign me and they were going to try and go in a different direction. Now, they didn't end up signing anyone at his position in free agency. The different direction to this point
might be the kids
has only been 2 7th-round picks. But you also need to take that into account if you are angry at Ryan Kerrigan for some reason. They didn't offer him a contract. They didn't try to bring him back. This wasn't a guy that walked out the door and said, lose my number. He got a call from them at the start of free agency saying, we will not be re-signing you.
Mm-hmm.
So he's supposed to say, okay, no problem. But let me not sign with three other teams in the division, shrink the overall pool of teams I might go to, the amount of money I might be able to earn, the opportunities I might be able to get. Yeah, Philly might give me the most play time. They're promising me the best opportunity on the field. But I can't do that, Dallas or New York, because I don't want anyone to be upset. This is a business. And he didn't choose to walk out the door.
Right.
They called him and said, we're not bringing you back, dude. So, go on. It does seem like sometimes fans, whether a guy's traded, whether they go sign somewhere, whether they turn down $300 million, and it's like the same thing. If you go to a different team, they're upset. It's not always the player's decision. Not that anybody should be upset anyway.
No, absolutely. But it's, you know, for fans who care about this sort of stuff, going to a team that you spend a lot of energy hating, that's not that much fun. To watch a player that you like play for a team that you hate, that's not the craziest thing in the world. But you're right. There are subtle differences. Not even subtle. Important differences. Clarifications. If the team had been like, Ryan, we want you back, and he'd been like, kick rocks, I'm going to Philly because I want to play you guys a couple times, we could have a little bit more disdain today. But specifically, as you said, they called to say no thank you. Like, I remember, this is, I'm sure my experience is nowhere near the same as his, obviously, but when I was being recruited out of high school, there was a program that said, that called as a courtesy to say, we're actually not going to be recruiting you, which was very nice of them to say, I suppose, but so I struck them off that list. Can you imagine if they were like, and also, by the way, please don't go to any of our rival schools? You don't get to do that. You renounced your Rouye privilege. We renounced our Kerrigan. The team shouldn't have done that, by the way. They should have tried to bring him back and made him say no, but that's me digressing. Once you say, best of luck to you, fare thee well, Kerrigan's not the bad guy anymore. He'd like to continue to be employed. Right? Now, it's going to sting when he does the HBK in Philadelphia.
He might retire it. We asked him to retire it.
If he bangs the Liberty Bell with his made-up gong, I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to sack a quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, and that's going to stink. I'm going to hate watching that. So, yeah, I can absolutely do both.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed the farewell. Hit up Kerrigan if you did. Let him know you had fun listening to him on the show over all the years. At Ryan Kerrigan, 91. Double play is next. Our Beltway Blitz at 4 o'clock. We're going to be taking calls in the 4 o'clock hour on the Wizards completely laying an egg last night. And on the Caps, who are getting ready for Game 3 tonight against the Bruins. By the way, 6:30 puck drop tonight.
Get ready.
What is that?
Like, a little early on the dinner. Like, get ready.
I can't even get home before
it's
they drop
It's so weird.
Puck. John Walton's going to be calling action as your boy is dashing home for a playoff game.
It's like those MLB playoff games where they're like, 4:46 first pitch. Like, is it? Where's John Smoltz? I'm confused.
So you want to host afternoon drive. First time in your life you don't get to watch a Caps playoff game.
You'll get there.
Sure, that makes sense. Grant and Danny on the Fan Blitz, 20 minutes out. Double play is next. I'm going to be talking about a death. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We'll get to it in a second. I do want to get some calls on the Wiz and the Caps, so we can do that next hour for sure. Carl Alsner of the Capitals, longtime defenseman, NHL player, will be with us at 6 o'clock. He played with a bunch of the dudes still on the team.
That's right.
Including John Carlson as his defensive pairing mate for a while. But we'll get his preview of the Caps and the Bruins just ahead of their 6:30 puck drop tonight. But right now, let's get to our double play. Our double play is sponsored, and it comes to you each and every day at this time, thanks to our friends at Mattress Warehouse. Free next day delivery, setup available, all orders over $7.99, and a 1-year price guarantee. Learn more at sleephappens.com.
GP, you, Darris, and certainly Ryan are obviously much younger than I am. You guys are too young to know what it's like to get together in a dorm room with a bunch of friends for a half-hour sitcom on a Thursday night. That's what people my age were doing with friends. It was the mega smash hit of mega smash hits. It kind of took over the mantle for Seinfeld on NBC. It was beyond ubiquitous. It was huge, mega thing every week, and going on with, it was funny, well-written, had heart, just really, really good. It ran for 10 years, and it felt longer than that, to be honest with you, but it ended up being one of the great finales, I think, ever, that tied the stories all together, and everybody got sort of to kind of the right place and destination as they went on this journey of going from kind of late adolescence in their 20s into real full functioning adults with kids and marriages and all that other kind of stuff. Really, really well done. A reunion special has been in the works for some time. I wasn't ready for this. The trailer just dropped. It comes out later this month on HBO Max. They're basically getting the band back together. They're going to have kind of a James Corden interview style. Everything's so amazing. They're going back to the set, sort of redoing some of the original table reads and some of the original feelings. Basically,
so it's not a show.
It's not a show.
It's like a special
about the show.
Okay.
So, you know, for someone like Jennifer Aniston, who's going on to mega stardom, been in a million things. Courtney Cox, some success. Matthew Perry had like a couple movies where it was him and Bruce Willis, and then he kind of went away. Joey's stuff, not so good, but whatever. They've all had their own careers, and they haven't been back there in almost 20 years. And now they're kind of coming back and doing this little special. I just watched the trailer. It's fantastic. If you're a Friends guy, HBO Max, May 27th.
Can I get your best impression of James Corden just excitedly trying to interview the cast? whatever your best bullet is on a last second ask.
So the episode, it was so amazing where Ross and Rachel, they didn't kiss, but they almost did. So if you could just go into that. Hi. That's so amazing, Ross. Amazing answer. Truly. And scene.
That's pretty good.
There we go.
I'll take that. It is time for my double play. In no way making light of this, just a man announcing something that I saw in the New York Post, via NewYorkPost.com. A 224-pound Russian woman reportedly killed her husband with her butt.
Oh, dear.
This is something that apparently happened. A 224-pound Russian woman is facing some charges after, I guess, her and her husband were in some dispute, and she sat on him, and he died because he wasn't able to breathe. You ever have that conversation with buddies where you guys talk about, and it's been a long time, it was probably like a high school thing where you're like, what would be the worst way to die? Like, you know, I wouldn't want to be like trapped underwater or whatever it is, right?
Right.
One thing that never came
that
up
never
was
came up.
Being sat on to death. I could see that in an Austin Powers movie or something where you get sat on and then all of a sudden it's over. And he just like walks away and he's like, what did I tell you? I was going to sit on you and kill you, baby. And that, like maybe something like that would happen, but not in real life. So I'm reading this story. Apparently, this lady, Tatiana, said that she merely wanted to calm her husband down after the couple had been drinking. The guy died from asphyxia from blocking of the respiratory system as his face was wedged into the mattress and she sat on his neck, using her legs so he could not lift up. So I'm picturing her kind of like straddling his neck,
yeah,
like a wrestler. And I guess enough time went by that this poor guy's life ended.
So I heard JP and B. Mitch talking about this a little bit earlier.
Did they talk about this too?
A little bit, yeah. And I, each time I'm sitting there, like I'm kind of squeamish, going, "Oh, I'm worried about how they're going to say some of the words." You know what I mean? Like
I don't know what you
mean.
Well,
because a lot of stuff gets dumped and is illegal and things we aren't allowed to say, and so they had to like kind of tap dance around the issue an awful lot.
But I don't think this was anything. Like I don't think this was a good moment between them.
No, it certainly was not a good moment. We certainly know that.
This was a. Like, they're arguing, and yeah. It's the same as if...
She's trying to calm him down. That's not how you calm somebody down.
Like, if you're wrestling with your brother,
yeah,
and he's crazy, and he's trying to get up and punch you,
and he
you
gives
sit
you, like, a Yokozuna
him.
Kind of an earthquake sit.
He just sits on you, and after a little while, you're, like, screaming, like, I can't breathe. It's that situation, except that apparently, at no point did she decide to get off of this.
Hey, he's not moving. Maybe I should. Ooh. Can you try to read the name of the city?
Let me see. Hold.
Starts with a K.
First,
there's a lot of
trial,
letters.
Tatiana was convicted of causing death by negligence after a murder charge was dropped. I don't know. I just have never heard this before. I've never heard of someone.
Me neither.
Killing another adult, let alone someone they like, by sitting on them for an extended period of time.
That is.
To try to calm them down.
Pretty awful. Pretty awful in a million ways.
Russian city is Novokuznetsk.
Yeah. They struggle. JP was struggling with that one.
Novokuznetsk.
Mullins was busted his chops basically.
Evgeny
like,
Kuznetsov.
Yeah, he's like, that's definitely not right what you're saying. We only know that what you're saying isn't right.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about the name of the city. I just know I saw this story and I thought, that's something I've never heard of before.
I have never heard of anything like that. And I don't know. Here's the thing I don't know.
I've got like a running list of ways people die.
Right.
This is a new item.
That hadn't been on there.
Number 613, being sat on.
By your wife, by the way.
Who's mad at you.
But maybe there's something lost in translation there too, where it's like, I'm attempting to calm down this person. We'd been drinking. Or were they arguing? Were they fighting? How do you calm someone down? I would go, you know what I should probably do is really sit down full weight so that they, like, what? That's the least calming thing possible. Do you know what I mean? Like, there are so many ways to calm someone down. Maybe leave the room. Maybe offer a hug. There's a million ways to do it that are not, I should probably sit.
I'm going to add that guy to my prayer tonight. What a way to go out. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Beltway Blitz at 4. Caps play tonight. Wiz laid an egg last night. We'll get to that at 4:25. Get your reactions on the phones. You're listening to the Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.